It is National Teachers Appreciation Day. And we promise we'll get to reading some of your teacher appreciation, some teachers that have made an impact in your life. Let's go with Eddie. Eddie says his, he says, my band teacher in seventh grade, he saw I was trying to learn Hail Varsity on my own. He was in the UNL band and gave me sheet music so I could blast it every Saturday morning. Neighbors love me. oh, wow. He says he also he leased an apartment to Eric Crouch's English teacher from Minnesota. She was sick one year and no family. Woke up in a hospital with Eric Crouch there. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Tom wants to recognize Mr. Randy Langdon, sixth grade teacher at Nyhard Elementary in Millard. Gave me confidence to lead, and I ultimately spent 10 successful years as an Army officer and 20 more as a corporate exec. Dude is awesome.
That's awesome.
Good to hear about Mr. Langdon. We will do that throughout the show. You can leave your teacher who you want to say thank you to on our Twitter page at Gary Sharp Show. Or, you know what, you can email us as well into the Equitable Bank inbox, Gary or George at 1620thezone.com. Phone numbers as usual, 951-1620. We'll do the appreciation over the phones. Or on the JTech Construction Twitter feed at Gary Sharp 1620 at My Aces Black 04. Or at Gary Sharp Show, where you will find a place to leave that. Again, it is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. If you don't like Star Wars or you haven't watched Star Wars, it's okay. Do not let anybody shun you today. George?
I'm actually getting get some support here. Zach says it's okay. He's fallen asleep every time he's tried to watch Star Wars. I don't share that same sentiment, but... and Matt says he's never seen Star Wars and doesn't want to see any piece of Star Wars.
Chris says if you don't like Star Wars, you're a monster.
And that's good because I never said I didn't like it. I just haven't tried it.
Well, I mean, Empire Strikes Back, New Hope, Rogue, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, all of those.
When I was younger, I was all in it. Had the action figures, had the Death Star, had the all of the characters.
Oh, you were all in.
And then I got a little bit older and, you know, I got interested in girls and sports. But I have seen all of the movies. I'm just not as diehard as I used to.
Okay.
But I like people. The people get into it today. They spend a lot of money on the costumes.
A lot.
They do, you know, you see, you know, local children's hospitals. You'll see Star Wars characters, just volunteers that'll dress up in their outfits, and they will go and make kids' days. Mm-hmm. But this is the day for you. And if you just, again, if you really want to troll people that are really into this and celebrating today, just say, hope your Trekkies are doing well. Buffalo is not doing well. Welcome back into the Gary Sharp Show. So we've talked about this in 3 years. When you've won 12 football games, at what point during those 3 years do you think that you could truly put your finger on momentum in Nebraska's program? Where Nebraska finished the year and you said, hey, here we go. Or begun the year, and you said, hey, here we go. The first game was a little bit of an omen. It got canceled. That was supposed to be the lead-in to Colorado. Didn't happen. Colorado was the lead-in to a season that went sideways at the beginning, but for what I truly believe is the only time since Scott has been in Lincoln that they've had true momentum was after the Northwestern game. Beat Minnesota. Then took advantage of Bethune-Cookman on the following weekend. Then almost went to Columbus and won. Finished up the month of November being quite competitive. And remember that whole hype and hope discussion yesterday? All right, the hype might be real. Feel good at the end of 18. Well, that led to the 18-19 offseason in, if we can get momentum, things are going to turn. Won the opening game that year against South Alabama. The Colorado game is the game in 2019 that ruined the whole party for Nebraska that season. They put so much into that game. Fans were going to be there. It was Colorado. It was revenge. It was a road game. That was going to be the game to turn the season in the right direction. Nebraska lost, and there were too many things familiar about that loss that we'd seen at Nebraska. And that loss derailed Nebraska the rest of the season. They never really recovered from that game. They had opportunities, but then injuries hit, and that 19 season was... Then there was really no opportunity for momentum during the 20 season. Started off slow. It was choppy throughout. Won an interesting game in Purdue, but couldn't match it the following week. And then won at Rutgers, and the season was over. So for 3 years, outside of about 5 weeks, Nebraska hasn't been able to pick up momentum. And that 5 weeks in November in 18, there was played well in Columbus, beat Michigan State in horrible weather. It, by the way, in the middle was a thorough beatdown of Illinois. Beat Michigan State, found a way to win when all it was a field goal kicking day in awful winter conditions. And then truly had a chance against Iowa. And you felt good from going into 19. Okay, here it goes. So momentum has been fleeting. And that's kind of as I look at this year, and it's shaping up as, man, that Illinois game in 114 days might be the end-all be-all. Many are going to expect Nebraska to win. So it doesn't always go that way when you're expected to win. But you are now creating a little bit of momentum. You know that on September 18th, Oklahoma is sitting right there. Folks, get ready for a long, long offseason of Spencer Rattler love. Spencer Rattler could be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft in 2022. Oklahoma, if you've checked out the ESPN post-spring rankings, is number one in the country. I don't think they'll be number one when the AP poll comes out, but boy, they could be number two or number three. And they have Tulane in Western Carolina before they play Nebraska. Now Nebraska has three games before they go to Norman. So prepare yourself. All offseason, Oklahoma is going to be a darling. Them, along with Iowa State, will bring a lot of attention to the Big 12. But Spencer Rattler will get a lot of love. People are saying, is he the next Patrick Mahomes? Gunslinger. I mean, nowadays, any quarterback coming out of college that is mobile and throws wild 50-yard passes downfield, you compare to Patrick Mahomes. But OU is going to get a lot of love. So that game is on the schedule, and you know what the target is. So yesterday's move of eliminate Southeastern Louisiana and move a game to play on September 4th and get Fordham for a cheap deal, $500K. When we went off the air yesterday, I did not know what the price tag was going to be. I thought, well, Fordham can hold Nebraska hostage. $500K is awful light. That is really, really light on short notice. Who is negotiating for Fordham? Because Fordham didn't need this game. I don't think they were searching. But they got $500K to play. Now, they are not, and they're a FCS team, they are not on the same level of what Southeastern Louisiana would have been. Not that Southeastern Louisiana is a top 15 or top 10 FCS team, but they're maybe a fringe top 20 team. So you have that game. Then you have Buffalo. Remember, you're setting up a schedule for momentum, and you set up the Fordham game. It's not about recruits. It's about a dub. Nebraska that weekend may have 2-3 official visitors. If you're being recruited by Nebraska and there's some peer teams around the area that are recruiting you, where are you going? I mean, there's a big football game in Iowa City. There's a big football game in Madison. Iowa State would be home. Minnesota is home. So that's set up as a dub. Let's just admit it out loud. It's not about Cruton. It's about a dub. It's about momentum. It's okay to say it's about momentum. But here's the other part. When you were originally looking at the schedule in the non-con, you knew Oklahoma would be tough. And then you thought, man, Buffalo's going to be a challenge. Buffalo is a well-coached football team. And here we go. It's a team from the MAC. Well, Lance Leipold is now at Kansas. Which, great, I watched his press conference yesterday. You know why he's going to be a successful, sensible hire for KU? KU went with what they needed, and that is for the guys in the room. They didn't hire somebody that the university needed or the brand needed, they hired a guy that that football team needed, a leader that is a good football coach that is organized and knows how to put together a staff. I've heard the word sensible. Lance Leipold is not going to make it overly complicated. Too many college football coaches make their job overly complicated. They get concerned about all these different flying circle, these flying squirrels out there. Okay? And they go, instead of focusing on what they were hired to do, and that is to win football games. And that's what Lance Leipold will do. He's not going to complicate things. He knows what he's getting into. I said it on Friday when it became official. I love this hire. Now, here's the fallout. It would have been great to see Lance Leipold come into Lincoln. People were very concerned about that game, rightfully so. Now, what are you getting out of Buffalo? Because Buffalo is starting to experience what Group of Five life is like. Your head football coach, around the 1st of May, departed to go to a Power Five job. That's a loss. But hey, we can replace him. We'll find somebody. Not that we'll replace him. We'll find somebody. Lance has left this job in good hands. Well, not so fast, Buffalo. There are people that are shuffling out of Buffalo. He is taking both of his coordinators. He's taking up to 7 on-field coaches with him to Lawrence. We are now at May 4. Guys are going home. They are leaving campus. They don't know who their football coach is. Their football coaches are in Lawrence. The impact of Lance Leipold taking his staff, nearly the entire staff, is going to make Buffalo really, really tough. Tough to rebound from, because I will throw another little nugget in there. Right now, at Buffalo, 3 players within the last hour, including a pair of All-MAC selections, have entered the transfer portal. 2 defensive tackles and a center. More will follow from Buffalo. So whoever is going to take over that job, they're going to have to get hired pretty quick. They're going to probably look into the portal themselves or convince guys that have put their name into the portal, just give me a chance. But Buffalo has to react quickly. That's looking pretty good for Nebraska. Granted, it would be week number 2 for Buffalo, but still, if you're making a coaching change or need to hire a coach this late in the process, you're thinking, okay, they'll be better as the season goes on. All of a sudden, Nebraska has an opportunity to create momentum. Whatever happens in Norman, does it stunt momentum? Yeah, that's how you handle it. But it all of a sudden has played pretty well into Nebraska's hands that 3-0, yeah, it's okay to say it out loud. I know you're only supposed to take one game at a time, but let's be realistic. If you're not 3-0, what's happening, Scott? And then you want to go a step further if you really want to get giddy and think about a roadmap and think about momentum, confidence. Could you have 4 victories before you get out of September? Developments in the last 24 hours have played pretty well for Nebraska. Now they got to take advantage of those opportunities. But what is happening in Buffalo is very unfortunate. But that's the Group of Five life. Nobody wants to lose their coach on May 1. And I don't know that it was expected he would take nearly his entire staff. But it's the fallout where players are, okay, I don't know who my coach is going to be. I came here to play for that coach. I came here to play for that coordinator. I came here to play for that position coach. I'm out. I know that people are looking in the portal. And that's what's happening at Buffalo today. And that's an advantage for Nebraska. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Fordham game a little bit later. Now that spring is over, either got to see an open practice a couple of Saturdays ago or this spring game this past Saturday. Going in, when spring practice started, I said 6-6. I watched an open practice. I watched the spring game. I listened. I asked questions. I still feel the same way. I don't think many people's opinion has changed of what you think a win total for this team is. But did anybody's win total go down? I'm not finding people that their win total went up. It basically stayed the same because you're also in the camp of, I just got to see it. But did anybody's win total go down after anything that you've seen this spring, whether it be injury to a third string tight end or an injury to a starting inside linebacker? Go down? Well, maybe even go up. Most, I think, would stay the same. We'll get into that as we roll till 2. Matt Lothrop joins us at 12:30 from KETV. Robin Washut stops by as well. And Tom Chattel joins the program. And George will discuss last night's Marvel game. We marveled at the excellence of Steph Curry, who had 17 in the first quarter, had 41, and the Dubs are closing in on a play-in spot. But what about the Marvel game? Did you like the Marvel game?
No.
We talked a lot about the Nickelodeon game, which I thought was fun. The Arena of Heroes last night, I wasn't as excited about the Nickelodeon playoff game that they did for the Saints and the Bears.
Right.
Last night, something seemed off. We'll discuss that and much more with all of you. Plus, on National Teacher Appreciation Day, go to our Twitter page, at Gary Sharp Show. Tell us the teacher that's made a difference in your life, and we will share your story about him or her on air throughout the entire Tuesday edition of the Gary Sharp Show with George on 1620 The Zone. Everything around me, cream, get the money, dollar bill, y'all.